You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production.
The Breakfast Show, better than coffee.
And it is a very big breakfast show. Good morning to each and every one of you. It is Thursday, if you've just woken up. Good morning. It's the 5th of October. You're listening to us on 89.3 Cool FM. Great to be with you this morning. As I say, great to be with you any morning. And we're going to start off, as we do, looking at somebody who's got a birthday today. This one put a bit of a smile on my face. Chevalier d'Eon was born on this day. We're going to go back to the year 1728. He was a French spy who conducted missions for his country, disguised as a woman. A brilliant fencer, and he gave exhibitions in London and was fatally wounded. And this was back in 1810, when an autopsy was undertaken. Yes, it revealed it all, you know. It revealed his masculinity.
Good morning, world.
Good morning.
Good morning in the morning.
Good morning.
Buenos días en la mañana.
That mission will start in 5 seconds from now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, hit.
The best place to be in the mornings.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D.
Give a damn. You're hiding from the truth of your mistakes.
There we go. Yes, bring us in this morning. That was Texas, and I just want to be liked. Don't we all? Let's keep at it. 5 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock on this morning's breakfast show. Busy morning, Dr. Computer. Alex apparently is going to be joining us a little bit later on, the 8 o'clock hour. Special guest coming in as well in the last hour of this morning's programme. I'll tell you a bit more about that as we get settled down. Getting settled down. Right. Coffee time.
You always make me smile when I'm feeling down. You give me such a vibe, I'm totally bona fide. It's not the way you walk, and it ain't the way you talk. It ain't the job you got that keeps me satisfied. You love me.
Breakfast Show. It's better than coffee.
Keep the fire burning all night long.
tell you what, just saying to Gaspin, sitting out on the balcony having some dinner last night, it was cold. The breeze coming in off the bay was really cold. I said to Gaspin, I wasn't sure I was going to make it today because I really felt quite fluey towards the end of last night. I thought, oh, here we go. Anyway, I took one of these sort of things you add water to supposedly get you better, and I feel a lot better this morning. So perhaps it's just this change in the weather. In fact, when we look at the bottom of the hour, when we look at some of the international news for this morning, a lot of it is to do with problems that are occurring due to the weather. Fires again have erupted in Tenerife, for instance, and they reckon they're going to have a lot of a heat wave in the UK soon. That'd be rather nice, wouldn't it? Right, there we go. Keep the Fire Burning by REO Speedwagon, off of their 1982 album, which was called Good Trouble. And the single was the only track from the Good Trouble album to make the top 10 on the pop charts, cresting at number 7. It's also the only tune from the album to feature Kevin Cronin on keyboards on the piano, which, although primarily the band's lead singer and acoustic rhythm guitarist, he began using in the studio. Yeah, and this was on the You Can Tune a Piano But You Can't Tune a Fish. I love the title of that song. Of course we do. Right, let's see, what should we do now? I know, we're going to get you in the shower. We're just about, we're making our way up to 15 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock. And, well, really, by the way, it's quite cloudy out there this morning. Still a bit cool. But, well, it's just another day in paradise.
Another day for you.
I've always liked that version of Another Day in Paradise, ever since it came out. Jamtronics and Another Day in Paradise. Well, get up and off you go then. Go and enjoy your day in paradise. It's brightening up a little bit. I just mentioned about it being cloudy. There's a little bit more light coming into the studio, so that's not bad. 19 minutes after the hour 7, if you're keeping an eye on the time, we'll take a little rummage around the internet, well, see if we can find a few stories for you. Let's say some good mornings. Good morning to Paul Dixon over there in South London, and good morning to Renee. And I tell you what, Paul sent me a little item here, which I'll show you. It's in the news over there in the United Kingdom. It's to do with cloud computing. And it says, UK cloud computing market is to face a competition probe over concerns it's being dominated by Amazon and Microsoft. Media watchdog Ofcom said that the two make up 70 to 80% of the sector in the UK, while closest rival Google's got about 5 to 10%. Ofcom had said in April it was worried a lack of competition made it difficult for businesses to switch providers. It's referred the sector to the UK's Competition and Markets Authority, the CMA, to look into the issue. Well, if there's lack of competition, what do they expect? I mean, come on, it's not that difficult in actual fact to change your cloud computing. What I've done once is I duplicate it on a new system before I take it off the old system. But blame Amazon and Microsoft, it's not their fault. They're obviously doing a good job, aren't they? Of course they are. 20 minutes after 7 o'clock. Here on The Breakfast Show, this is Huey Lewis and the news. Do you believe in love? Believe in Love, and Huey Lewis and the News there. And just looking, another birthday for today. It's Louis-Jean Lumière. He was born on this day in 1864. He was a French physicist who, with his brother, Auguste, were among the earliest filmmakers in history. Appropriately, Lumière translates into light in English. There you go. Talking of English, our guest today is going to be talking about teaching you English. I said more about that as we go into the program. So stay tuned for that. 24 minutes right now after 7. And one of the things the French do absolutely brilliantly, because I went to one in Mont-Saint-Michel once, is son et lumière, which is light and sound. And it was absolutely amazing. And I've suggested, when we've had the French people here in the studio, that they should do one of those in the Old Town. When I don't mean Casco, I mean the other, the original Old Town, Panama Viejo. They should do one there, because that will be really good. And we could do it in the summer. Well, that's all we get these days, isn't it, summer? Not the hoople. All the young dudes is what they're singing about.
In the head when he was 25. Speed jive, don't want to stay alive when you're 25. And when you're stealing clothes from Marks and Sparks, and Freddy's got spots from ripping up the stars from his face, funky little road rage. The television man is crazy, Sam with juvenile delinquent wreck. Oh man, I need. What a drag. Too many snacks. Nah, I drunk a lot of wine and I'm feeling fine. Gotta raise some cab to bed. Oh, is there concrete all around? Or is it in my head?
Dudes from Mott the Hoople, an English band formed in, they're from Hereford, in Herefordshire, originally known as the Doc Thomas Group. The group changed their name, this was after signing with Island Records in 1969. They released a couple of albums at the beginning of the 1970s, but really failed to find commercial success. On the verge of breaking up, the band were encouraged by David Bowie to stay together. And guess what? Bowie wrote the glam style song, All the Young Dudes. for Them, which became a big hit in 1972. Bowie subsequently produced their album of the same name, and that also added to their success. What the hoopoe? Oh, by the way, they were active from 69 to 1980, and they've had reunions in 2009, 2013, 2018, 2019. You can always tell when the bank account's running a bit low, can't you?
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
Cardigan Groups, la agencia de comunicación, PR y marketing más creativa de Panamá, te invita a la segunda edición de Empowoman.
Iniciativa 100% gratuita que reúne inspiradoras historias y abordará temas como cinta rosada, maternidad, emprendimiento y mucho más.
Acompaña a Daniela Álvarez, Miss Colombia 2011.
Junto a reconocidas mujeres como Nicole Ferguson, Astrid Quiroz y Sacha Nikita. Este 21 de octubre desde las 10 de la mañana en Multiplaza Plaza del Sol.
Inscríbete en proyectocardigans.com y síguenos en @EmpowomanLatam.
Grupo Nefron Medical and Dialysis Center, located in the heart of the city, this is at the Panama Clinic Hospital in San Francisco, provides a full range of services, including advanced diagnostic procedures and treatments to help patients prevent or delay kidney failure and live healthier lives while managing a kidney disorder. Contact them at 310-2895 or 6548-6510. Grupo Nefron.
En la carretera panamericana se desarrollan frentes de trabajo de la línea 3. Por la seguridad de los conductores, recomendamos respetar las señales de tránsito y manejar con precaución para evitar accidentes.
As we make our way to this year's holiday season, a great time, of course, to spend with family and friends. Well, let's not also forget the less fortunate. So why not have a great time and help others as well? The British Charitable Foundation is happy to announce the 20th annual British Haul. It's going to be on Saturday the 2nd of December at the Miramar Intercontinental Hotel. Come along and join us for that champagne reception, a sit-down dinner, open bar, DJ and dancing until you drop. And you can have all of that for a donation of $135 per person. Ladies, do come glamorous. And men, well, see if you can find that black tie. All you've got to do, if you're interested in tickets, you can go directly to the booking form at www.bit.ly/2023BritishBallTickets. Or for any queries or questions, you can also email the organisers at info@BritishBallPanama.com. Come along, join us, have a great time, and give help to others as well. There we go. Yes, good advice. I tell you what, those tickets are going quickly. Right, let's take a look at some of the international news for this morning, bit of business as well. European leaders will assure Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky of their long-term support. This is during talks on Thursday. Today, after US President Joe Biden voiced fears that Republican infighting in Congress could damage American aid to Kyiv. Zelensky arrived in the Spanish city of Granada for a summit of the European political community, a forum established last year following, following Russia's invasion of Ukraine, to foster cooperation among more than 40 countries from Norway to Albania. The main challenge to save unity in Europe, not only in the EU, but in all of Europe, Zelensky said on his arrival, warning of Russian disinformation attacks. Earlier, he said on social media that his key priority was to beef up Ukraine's air defences. And fighting to win an unprecedented third term in office, Poland's nationalist government has seized on a target close to home, Germany, its NATO ally and biggest trading partner. In a tight race ahead of Poland's October the 15th election, leaders of the ruling Law and Justice Party have accused Germany of trying to dictate Polish government policy from Berlin on anything from migration to gas. The feud has frayed Europe's broadly united front, supporting Ukraine against Russia's invasion, shredding a plan for a joint Polish-German tank repair plant for Kyiv's benefit. And Russia has signed a deal for a permanent naval base on the Black Sea coast of the breakaway Georgian region of Abkhazia. The Izvestia newspaper reported, prompting criticism from Georgia, which said that the move was a gross violation of its sovereignty. Russia's Black Sea fleet, based in Sevastopol on the Crimean Peninsula, which Moscow annexed from Ukraine in 2014, has been repeatedly targeted by Kiev's forces since the 2022 Russian invasion of Ukraine. Typhoon Kyunu brushed past southern Taiwan on Thursday, killing one person, injuring 304 and causing localized damage as lashing rains and strong winds forced millions of people in a swathe of cities to miss work and school. Kyunu, which means puppy in Japanese, made landfall on Taiwan's Hengchong Peninsula as a Category 4 typhoon, indicating winds of up to 252 kilometers an hour. But it weakened as it crossed into the Taiwan Strait and headed towards China's Guangdong province, according to Tropical Storm Risk. Japan issued an advisory for a tsunami of 1 meter for the islands off of Izu Peninsula on the eastern coast of the country. The warning followed an earthquake that had a preliminary magnitude of 6.6 that struck at 11 a.m. near Torishima Island, according to the Japan Meteorological Agency. The epicenter was in the Pacific Ocean, about 550 kilometers south of Tokyo. At least 14 people were killed and 102 were missing on Thursday after heavy rains caused a Himalayan glacier lake in northeast India to burst its banks, the worst such disaster in the region in more than 5 decades. The Lonak Lake in Sikkim State burst its banks on Wednesday, causing major flooding, which authorities said had impacted the lives of 22,000 people in its latest deadly weather event in South Asia's mountains, being blamed on climate change. And also, this year is on track to become the hottest year on record, with the global mean temperature to date this year 0.52 degrees Celsius higher than average, the European Union's Copernicus Climate Change Service said on Thursday. The global temperature for January to September is also 1.4 degrees Celsius, higher than the pre-industrial average from the years 1850 to 1900, the Institute added, as climate change pushes global temperatures to new records and short-term weather patterns also drive temperature movements. And authorities in the on the Spanish island of Tenerife evacuated some 3,000 people from their homes overnight as a wildfire sparked by high temperatures and strong winds raged in a forested area already ravaged by fire in August. Singapore police confirmed on Thursday. This was the arrest of a 36-year-old man at the Changi Airport, responding to a query on the arrest of Su Zhu, one of the founders of bankrupt crypto hedge fund Three Arrows Capital. Police did not identify the arrested man or elaborate in the response to Reuters. European stocks, they open higher on Thursday after a plunge in oil prices and softer US labor data late on Wednesday helped bring US Treasury yields back down from a 16-year high. Asian shares rebounded from 11-month lows overnight following gains on Wall Street. China's mainland markets remain closed for holidays. US yields have been rising in recent weeks as investors reprice the chance of the US Federal Reserve keeping rates elevated for longer if inflation remains above target and the economy continues to show resilience. The 10-year US yield hit a 16-year high of 4.884% overnight. The bond sell-off paused after a cooler-than-expected U.S. Private payrolls report and a 5% drop in oil prices. At 9.03 Greenwich Mean Time on Thursday, the U.S. 10-year yield was at 4.7498%. European stock indices were mostly a touch higher with the Stock 600, up less than 0.1% on the day. The MSCI World Equity Index, which tracks shares in 47 countries, that was up 0.2%, rebounding from the previous session, in which it hit its lowest since late March. Oil prices, they fell by more than a dollar on Thursday, extending previous session's sharp losses as an uncertain demand outlook overshadowed any boost from an OPEC Plus panel maintaining oil output cuts to keep supply tight. Brent crude oil futures, that dropped $1.19 to $84.62 a barrel. That was by 10:45 Greenwich Mean Time. While U.S. West Texas Intermediate, WTI crude, well, that was $1.31 lower at $82.91. So there we go. That's our look for this morning. Some of the international news and some business as well. Have you ever thought about smart investing? You've got to check out Riccio & Associates. They've got over 30 years of experience guiding folks just like you. Start with $5,000. Get control, low cost and total liquidity. Reach out on WhatsApp at 1-954-881-3398 or swing by the website yoinviertobien.com. Your financial future, it's in great hands.
We have the best music from the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and beyond. Join us for the latest news and great interviews. The best place to be in the mornings. The Breakfast Show with Jerry D. Cool FM 89.3.
Oh my.
There we go. Oh, wet, wet, wet. That's what we need, isn't it, really? Wet, wet, wet. We want lots of wet, wet, wet. And there's a piece in the news this morning about the canal, actually. And they're reducing from the 1st of November the transits again, just by one ship per day. I think that's down to 31 from 32, if I'm not mistaken. And they're talking again, of course, about the necessity for more water. And Rio Indio looks to be the number one choice. So that's on the local news at the top of the hour, 8 o'clock. Time for a couple of good mornings. Good morning to Renee, and good morning to Mary Lou. And Renee, well, for her everyday story of people in Greece. I learned, good morning, she says. The weather is sure changing here. I was actually cold when I started my walk this morning. Well, I was saying earlier on, the good lady and I were cold last night sitting on the balcony. Thought I was going to get the flu. I didn't, otherwise I wouldn't be here. So yes, it was cold when Renee started her walk this morning. Must have been nice and fresh though. Fresh, cool air felt good. There you go, you see. External air conditioning. Have a lovely day, and you asked if we could play a track for you. Comes from Fleetwood Mac. It's called Dreams. And we keep an eye on the time, we're exactly 15 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock.
Come.
There we go, Dreams. Fleetwood Mac going out to Renee there. Renee and Rick over there in Athens in Greece. Now, did I say 15 minutes before or 15 minutes after 8 o'clock? I sort of said, which did I say? If I said after, I was wrong because it was before. And I thought, well, if I said after, it'd give a few people a bit of a shake, wouldn't it? Oh, my gosh. What am I doing? I'm late. Well, anyway, it's 10:30 exactly before the hour of 8 o'clock here on this morning's breakfast show. Disco DJs and moving on up. 7 minutes away from the top of the hour. Don't forget we've got the news for you at 8 o'clock. And in the last hour of this morning's programme, I mentioned we've got a special guest coming in. We've got Robert Risden coming in to chat with us. Robert is the director of My English Time. And this is about teaching you English, some special ways of doing it. So Robert will be telling us all about that in the last hour of this morning, and I understand that Dr. Computer, Alex Newman's going to be able to join us in the next hour, which is nice. We'll also be checking in with Ingrid and saying hello and a good morning to Yasmin as well. Why not? We can do that.
You got a hold on me. You take control of me. Just don't let go of me. I don't want to lose you. You got my head spinning. Quit all the bad thinking. Want you to last with me. I don't want to lose you. Hold on me. Take control of me. Don't let go of me. Oh, never let me down. Down, down, da 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 down, down, da 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 down, down, da da da. Give me higher ground, baby, lift me higher now, now turn me right.
like I'm free falling. I don't wanna lose you. You got my head spinning. Quit all the bad thinking. Want you to last with me. I don't wanna lose you. Hold on me, take control of me. Don't let go of me. Oh, never let me down. Down, down, da 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 down, down, da 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 down, down, da da.
With Jerry D.
Just how we used to be. Well, how can I
There we go, Naked Eyes, and Always Something There to Remind Me. And that was following on from Never Let Me Down by Viz and Tom Gregory. And, well, it's brought us to the top of the hour.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3. Cool FM, the best place to be in the mornings.
As we make our way to this year's holiday season, a great time, of course, to spend with family and friends. Well, let's not also forget the less fortunate. So why not have a great time and help others as well? The British Charitable Foundation is happy to announce the 20th annual British Haul. It's going to be on Saturday the 2nd of December at the Miramar Intercontinental Hotel. Come along and join us for that champagne reception, a sit-down dinner, open bar, DJ and dancing until you drop. And you can have all of that for a donation of $135 per person. Ladies, do come glamorous. And men, well, see if you can find that black tie. All you've got to do, if you're interested in tickets, you can go directly to the booking form at www.bit.ly/2023BritishBallTickets. Or for any queries or questions, you can also email the organisers at info@BritishBallPanama.com. Come along, join us, have a great time, and give help to others as well.
Cardigan Groups, la agencia de comunicación, PR y marketing más creativa de Panamá, te invita a la segunda edición de Empowoman.
Iniciativa 100% gratuita que reúne inspiradoras historias y abordará temas como cinta rosada, maternidad, emprendimiento y mucho más.
Acompaña a Daniela Álvarez, Miss Colombia 2011.
Junto a reconocidas mujeres como Nicole Ferguson, Astrid Quiroz y Sacha Nikita. Este 21 de octubre desde las 10 de la mañana en Multiplaza Plaza del Sol.
Inscríbete en proyectocardigans.com y síguenos en @EmpowomanLatam.
La línea 3 del metro elevará el tren de vida de miles de panameños que residen en Panamá Oeste. Pronto será una realidad que contribuirá a un desplazamiento rápido y seguro desde y hacia la ciudad capital.
Grupo Nefron Medical and Dialysis Center, located in the heart of the city, this is at the Panama Clinic Hospital in San Francisco, provides a full range of services, including advanced diagnostic procedures and treatments to help patients prevent or delay kidney failure, and live healthier lives while managing a kidney disorder. Contact them at 310-2895 or 6548-6510. Grupo Nefron.
She packed my bags last night, pre-flight. 0 hour. 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high as a kite by then. I miss the earth so much. I miss my wife. It's lonely out in space on such a timeless flight. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time till touchdown brings me round again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh no, no, no. Brings me round again to find fact is cold as hell. And there's no one there to raise them. If you did, and all the science I don't understand is just my job. 5 days a week, a rocket man, a rocket man. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time till touchdown brings me round again.
Deeper shade of blue in my
Good advice from Top Loader there. It's called Breathe. Apparently you've got to. Before that, well, you know that was, haven't we? Rocket Man from Elton John. You're listening to The Breakfast Show. We're on 89.3 Cool FM. Let's see if we can find out what Ingrid's been up to, shall we?
Good morning, Panama. Good morning, Jerry. Hey, guys, how you doing? It's a crisp and chilly morning. Woo, yeah. I had, thank goodness, Chelsea crawled up into the bed and snuggled in. I needed that extra warmth. Woo, nice and chilly this morning. I don't know what happened, but the temperature just plummeted. All about 70 degrees. Oh, my goodness. It's almost as good as air conditioning for free outside. So I'm actually having to wear an extra layer of clothing this morning with my nice warm cup of coffee. It's a beautiful day. Things are looking up. The birds are singing. Oh, my goodness. That papaya tree has more beautiful blooms on it than any other flower in the yard. It's unfortunate that the males only put out the flowers and the females put out the fruit, which is not a bad thing. But it's okay if I don't have fruit from the male papayas, because all those beautiful birds, the hummingbirds and everybody comes around, and the bees. So I feel glad. They're getting pretty tall, though. I've got two male trees in the backyard and a couple of females in the front. So hopefully that the animals or the bugs and the bees and the birds and the bees are doing what they're supposed to do, pollinating. Well, this is Thursday. It is October 5th. In 2 days, it'll be Chelsea's one-year birthday. Oh, we're going to have a little birthday party. Yay, Chelsea. But it's going to be on a Saturday, so I won't get Jerry to wish her a happy birthday on a Saturday. But tomorrow is one of my favorite days, our Freaky Friday Fun Facts. Yeah, well, we've already done dogs, so I won't be doing dogs again for a while. But, yes, it's going to be a nice Freaky Friday Fun Facts. We have beautiful sun peeking through the trees, looking at gorgeous leaves just making shadows everywhere. But it's not warm yet. Warm enough yet to take the second layer of clothing off, so I'll be a little while longer before I do that. I'll just keep heating up with my coffee. Oh, yes, and I did like the other day's news with the coffee lady. Yeah, I would love to be a part of that. Know more about it. Anyways, until tomorrow, back to you in the studio.
There we go, Foreigner and Cold as Ice. And setting in here, it wasn't just Ingrid. Here in the city, we were getting a really cool breeze off the bay last night. I thought I was getting a cold, a refriado, but I'm all right. Right, we're just about making our way down towards the bottom of the hour. 29 minutes, and that's after the hour of 8 o'clock. By the way, just a quick question. Did anybody hear before our news today, when we sort of got up to the top of the hour, anything go out about mining? One of our listeners said that they heard something go out about mining, but it wasn't from here, so I'm just sort of interested. Let me know if you did. We've got Dr. Computer with us. Alex, perhaps we were hacked, Alex.
Or someone was mining for information.
Oh, God, it's going to be a long morning.
Today on Dad Jokes.
You are digging deep, aren't you? Right. Interesting.
Because just barely scratched the surface.
Yes, take over, will you? Got to go and have a lie down. When you came in, you mentioned whether I'd had any sort of strange calls on my WhatsApp, and I sort of said no, but a friend of mine was hacked on WhatsApp yesterday. And funnily enough, I mean, until I heard that, I didn't think WhatsApp could be hacked.
It still can't. Not the way people relate to hacking. Usually, hacking means taking over something because you used some sort of vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
And you either sent a malformed message or something that was misinterpreted by the application, could be WhatsApp, could be anything else, and made it so that it executed some different instruction or it was used for something different. And this is not the case. Unfortunately, media usually uses the word hacked, and then people in general use the word hack to mean something completely different, something called social engineering. The epitome of which I usually go back to, I don't know if you saw the movie Beverly Hills Cop.
Many years ago, with
Eddie Murphy. Mm-hmm. He was the champion, I would say, of social engineering. Mm-hmm. He would pretend that a certain situation was going on in order to get people to do what he needed them to do at the moment. In this case, what happens is, you get messages from someone saying, hey, we're the WhatsApp team, and we need you to verify your account or something like that. So we're going to send you a code, and if you give us the code, we'll let you continue using WhatsApp or something like that. And every time you change devices, WhatsApp wants to make sure that you are, in fact, who you say you are, and that the number that you're associating with that account is the number that you have currently in your hand because you have a SIM card or an eSIM or whatever. So they send you a text message to your number, to that number, so that they can make sure that you are you. If you get a message saying, hey, send us that code, or if you get a message from a relative saying, hey, I sent you the code by mistake, can you send it back to me? That is someone trying to take advantage of you through what's called social engineering. You should never give out any of these codes to anyone under any circumstances, because that's one of the ways that they take over your WhatsApp account. You should, by all means, go into the settings and turn on what's called two-step verification. Mm-hmm. If you go into the settings for WhatsApp, one of the settings here is under, I think, account. Let me see. Yeah. It says two-step verification. Mm-hmm. If you turn that on, you can create a PIN that you can then have set on WhatsApp so that even if somebody got hold of your SIM card, your phone, or whatever, it will still ask for that second code to make sure that you are you. And if they don't have that code, they can't take over your WhatsApp.
That's interesting. And I tell you what, with now the fact that you can use WhatsApp on up to, what, another four devices or something, does that make it easier for somebody to break into?
Only if they have physical access to your phone. In order to,
they have to have that QR code.
Exactly. And if they do have physical access to your phone, for whatever reason, you left it unlocked or whatever, and they go onto the browser on their phone or some other device like a computer or whatever, you can still go into the settings, and if you check on where it says linked devices, you will see, for example, on mine, you have two computers that are set up so that I can check my WhatsApp messages. I sometimes even set up my iPad because it's just a little bit easier to type on than a small phone screen or whatever. And you can always go into that and then click that device and say log out, and that device will be logged out. There are certain things that you can't do on secondary devices like these, like, for example, change the phone number, change the settings, or whatever. So it's a little bit more secure, but still, you should be careful with that.
Well, I had a thing a while ago, nothing like a call or anything like that. And also, partly for my own fault, because I hadn't reset the backup. Normally, I have it backed up every single day. But and all of a sudden, I got a message. All my devices were kicked out. All of them. Shut down. Couldn't get in. So when I had to go back in and get back in with my phone, of course, I didn't have a backup. I was about a week or something short of a backup. It just said it just wouldn't be able to give me the messages. But why would I be kicked out of everything?
It could be that somebody tried to register one of these devices, or one of your devices might have had a really old version of WhatsApp that hadn't been updated. There are at least three or four different reasons off the top of my head. But it's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, if you lost your, I don't know, your apartment key for whatever reason, and you changed all the locks and then found the key maybe a couple of days later, it wouldn't be necessarily a bad thing. Sure, you're out, in this case, of some money because you changed the locks, or in the case of WhatsApp, you're out a couple of minutes registering on all your devices again, but at least you know that nobody unauthorized had access to your WhatsApp.
Okay. It couldn't be that they got access and I was kicked out.
That would be highly unlikely, because I don't think you're the kind of person who leaves their phone unlocked. I mean, your phone's right there on the table, and it's, you know, the screen is off, and it's probably locked with, like, biometrics, thumbprint, or your face, or anything like that, or even a number that, or a password. So unless you're the kind of person that leaves their phone unlocked all the time, or your front door unlocked all the time, you shouldn't have anything to worry about. And that comes back to something else. I was helping some companies set up their Office 365 account. And one of the things that a lot of these services like Google Workspace and so on are now enforcing on users for a good reason is two-factor authentication, or multiple-factor authentication. You can use things like SMS, which is safe-ish, in the sense that if somebody steals your phone or your SIM card or something like that, they can still access that. But more and more, people are using what's called a token, the one that they used for banks and things like that. You can use programs like Microsoft Authenticator. You can use Google Authenticator. I, for one, use something called Authy from Twilio. That's A-U-T-H-Y. And the reason I use it is because they have a version that runs on the computer as well, and you can have them all synced, and you can save your passwords to it and whatever. It's like a master key of sorts. And the great thing about that is, even if somebody guesses or finds out or steals your password, they won't be able to access unless they have this secondary authentication method. And the way it works, it basically takes, and I'm really oversimplifying this, it takes your username, your password, and a couple of other information about what you're logging on to, like the place where you're logging on to, say, Hotmail or Gmail or anything, and it makes a one-way mathematical equation. You can, for example, test something like this on a calculator. If you divide 10 by 3, it tells you it's 3.333 and on. But if you take that 3.333 by itself and multiply it back, it doesn't give you 10. It gives you 9.99, so it doesn't coincide. So it takes that and combines it with the time and date. If your phone's time and date is wrong, then this won't work. But usually phones will synchronize the time by themselves. So it generates a new code every 30 seconds. And it's valid for about a minute or two, just in case you take some time
it's
to
like
type it.
It's like one on the bank when you make a transaction.
Exactly. And that way, you need something that will always be different every time that you log in. And this makes it very difficult for people to take over.
I have the Microsoft Authenticator, but I hadn't been to LinkedIn for a while, and I decided to have a look, see what's on LinkedIn, and it came back and it asked me, but I didn't have an authenticator for LinkedIn, so then what do you do?
You usually have to go through some hoops, and that's, again, a good thing, because otherwise, why have it at all? You usually have to either provide another way of proving that you are, in fact, who you say you are, or you can go through support, and they will ask you for things like your ID or things like that. For example, for Office 365, for Google, and for other services, you can set up multiple forms of ID verification. For example, I have a phone number that most people don't have, and it's sitting in a drawer in my office just for that purpose. I have some security questions, which aren't related to anything in reality. For example, let's say we pick a person from, you know, fiction, Batman. If it says, who's your favorite teacher? I would say Ra's al Ghul, because that's who taught Batman how to fight. Or if it says, what's your high school? I say Gotham High, and things like that. If I forget, I can even look it up on Wikipedia. Hey, where did Batman go to school?
And but so can anybody else.
Yeah, but they won't know it's Batman.
Oh, I see. It's okay.
Except maybe the Joker. He always figures it out. So the thing
that's
is,
true, yeah.
And for passwords, I usually tell people, pick a song. Could be the national anthem, for example. Your password could be APLVEECDLU. That's the first letter of every word of the Panamanian national anthem. Even if you forget it, which you probably couldn't if you were born here, you had to sing it every Monday, you can always look it up. And it's not something that people could easily guess, but it's something that you could easily retrieve if you lost it somehow. So, yeah, you have to be aware that nowadays your identity is sometimes worth a lot more than the information on your phone, because then people can do things to other people in your name. One thing that's happening a lot is people are getting calls where they'll have to pick up the phone and somebody on the other side says something like, can you hear me okay? And you say, yes. And the problem with that is they'll take that recording of your voice and then go on to maybe a banking system or something like that. When they ask, hey, do you want to, I don't know, take out money? They'll just play back your voice saying yes. And they have that on tape, so you can't really weasel your way out of that, you know, if you need to. So you have to be careful not to answer phone calls like that. And if they say something like, can you hear me okay, hang up and maybe text them or something like that, or just be careful.
So if, how would somebody then get hold of your WhatsApp account? And when they did, what can they do with it?
Well, usually what happens is at least...
It's just they don't have the phone number, do they?
They don't really have to have the phone number. Let's say they took over your friend's account yesterday, and they just wait for messages to come in, or they look at the groups that that person belonged to, because they can't retrieve the backup just like you couldn't, but they will be part of all the groups. They can go on to all the groups, look at the phone numbers for everybody else, and then do the same thing to them, which is tell them, hey, it's Jerry. I sent my WhatsApp verification code to you by mistake. Can you send it to me? And then you'll take over their account, and so on. And then you can start looking at things like profiles or what people are talking about on the groups or whatever, and try to figure out who you could scam, in the sense that, hey, I'm stuck in an airport and
you
I need
still,
money.
Would you, you'd still have WhatsApp on your phone?
The WhatsApp on your original phone would say, hey, you just started WhatsApp on another phone, so I'm going to log you out. And you can't log back in for another 12 hours. And during those 12 hours, they...
But that's a stupid thing to do, isn't it?
Kind of, yeah. But still, the problem is you shouldn't be able to just go in and out of WhatsApp on several phones at the same time, because that's not practical. That's not normal.
But then shouldn't they warn you?
Oh, they do. And they send you a message saying, hey, here's the code to get in on that other device you're setting up. If this wasn't you, don't give it to somebody else. But if you give in and give it to somebody else. You're basically telling them, oh, it's okay, it's just me, when it's not.
Hmm. And tell me, we now have eSIMs.
Yeah.
Okay. In fact, this one has an eSIM, which I'm going to use when I go to Spain.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way that people can hack eSIMs to put a number on their phone?
SIMs and eSIMs are pretty much the same, just the medium is different. One is virtual, one's
right.
Physical. The problem with SIMs is, if they're not in somebody's name, there's nothing preventing from somebody walking into a store and saying, I lost my SIM, can you give me a new one? So, if you're the kind of person who doesn't want their name on their SIM for whatever reason, this is one of the risks you take. But if you're not, then make sure that your SIM is in your name. For example, if you have a contract, that's pretty much automatic. Mm-hmm. Contracts mm-hmm. have mm-hmm. to have a person behind them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a prepaid SIM, and you just got it off the supermarket or something like that, it's not going to be in anyone's name.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing really preventing the phone company from saying, no, I will not give you that because that's not yours, because they don't have a name to tie it to.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a prepaid SIM, the two things you have to make sure is, one, make sure it's in your name if you don't want it stolen, and two, make sure it's always topped up at least twice a year, or you could lose it. I've seen so many people set up their prepaid SIMs as their token or their second mm-hmm. authentication. And then they go, I don't know, travel for a year or two and then get back to Panama and wonder, why is my WhatsApp not working? Well, do you still have the SIM card? No, it's an old number. I change phone numbers when I travel. Okay, so can you get your SIM back? No, it's been already assigned to somebody else. So you lost it. So if it's important to you, then make sure that you take all the proper precautions, then it doesn't fall into somebody else's hands.
So how does it work with an eSIM then? How does that work?
eSIMs have to be set up using some sort of procedure where you log on to a website and you provide information, payment information, and so on. So it's less likely that an eSIM will be given to somebody and then not have a name tied to it.
Well, for example, what I'm looking at, there's a company in Spain, covers the whole of Spain. Mm-hmm. And you get an eSIM mm-hmm. from them, mm-hmm. and that gives you unlimited data access, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Very good price.
Mm-hmm.
That's safe?
Yes. Did they ask you for your name?
Well, they go through everything. I haven't done it yet, but when I've gone, but
exactly.
it looked very
legit.
Legit, yeah. Well, that doesn't say anything.
Unless
really,
I have some way of walking into a store for that company and pretending I'm you, so I can get an eSIM mm-hmm. from them in your name, then it's perfectly safe. Now, if, for example, somebody sat down on your computer and you left it unlocked and whatever, mm-hmm. and they could log on to the website and they could say something like, hey, the phone that I set up this eSIM for was lost. I need to set up a new phone with this eSIM. Mm-hmm. They'll issue a new one and you'll lose the one that you have on your phone. So don't leave your computer unlocked and unattended or whatever,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, any medium that you used to set up the eSIM, if used improperly, could be set up to set up a new eSIM on somebody else's phone.
Interesting. Just don't get hacked.
Yeah, or don't get socially engineered.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of, one of the hypotheses going around, because a lot of people in Panama got calls on WhatsApp from a lot of different places around the world. We're talking, you mentioned Nigeria, there's Malawi, there's mm-hmm. India, there's mm-hmm. a whole bunch of places around the world. There are several working hypotheses about this. One of them is they want you to pick up the phone and start talking so they can use your voice to maybe call somebody else and pretend to be you. So, again, don't pick up calls if you don't know the number. There's a setting on WhatsApp mm-hmm. that you can tell mm-hmm. it to silence calls that are not on your contact list. And I've heard from some people, especially doctors, saying, but I get calls all the time from people I don't know. Good for you. But if somebody can call you on WhatsApp, they can always send you a voice note on WhatsApp, or they can send you a text message on WhatsApp. They'll be able to get a hold of you. And you can call them back. It doesn't cost you a dime. So it shouldn't be that much of a problem. And if it does become a problem, then just don't pick up calls from outside mm-hmm. the country mm-hmm. or from countries that you don't usually deal with.
On WhatsApp, you said that you can set it so that you don't accept calls from people other than on your,
yes.
your list.
That's how I have it set up. Mm-hmm. In fact, one of the scams that's also going around WhatsApp right now is that they'll email you, they'll text you from a U.S. number that when you go and check, it's an eSIM that somebody could have set up from anywhere mm-hmm. else in the world. And they'll tell you, hey, we're paying people to watch YouTube. If you go and watch this channel and like and comment and subscribe and whatever, we'll give you a certain amount of money. That usually is a scam in the sense that they'll, for example, deposit a check to your account for a set amount of money, but it takes, since it's an international transaction, it takes a couple of weeks for that to clear or whatever, but then it bounces. And then you're out not only the amount that they supposedly send you, but the fee that the bank charges you for a bounce check.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do get something like that, the best thing you can do is report and block them. The second best thing you can do is, tell people on the internet, hey, this is what's going on, and don't take advice from these people or whatever, and then go to the places that are buying followers and buying views and buying likes, and then report them and then dislike their content or block their channel or whatever, because they are they're the reason why we can't have nice things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Another thing, this hasn't happened on my personal account, but on the PBC one, or mm-hmm. the breakfast show one that we're using, I've come in some mornings and found I've got a couple of messages from people. I haven't got a clue who they mm-hmm. are. So what I always do before I even look is I click on their
profile. Mm-hmm.
And I see where it's coming from, mm-hmm. who they are, or supposed to be this name. But when you check the number, what I do, I just say to, what's their name in the corner? What is this the telephone code for?
Mm-hmm.
Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
So be careful, because they're getting everywhere.
Yeah. And for some reason, it's always very, very nice-looking Asian girls that mm-hmm. they use for profile pictures, for whatever reason. There must be something there. I don't know.
What else? Now, tell me, you mentioned, I use, what I use for my passwords, et cetera, is mm-hmm. Dashlane.
Yeah.
Which I've found very good. It's easy to access, and I've got a pretty strong access to that. Mm-hmm. So I'm always thinking, well, what if somebody puts in the code? I mean, it's not that easy to do. One thing that surprised me about them was they used to have an app on your laptop or your computer,
mm-hmm.
which they got rid of, mm-hmm. and they just put it on the, you've got to go to the browser.
Mm-hmm.
And it works within the browser. Mm-hmm. Why would they do that? Because it was very handy to get the information.
Unfortunately, if you have an app and you're not updating it frequently, if there's any kind of security incident or whatever, and not everybody updates, then you have a large surface for somebody to attack.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to have the least attackable surface for that. So what you do is you create a web app that you control, that you update, that you have full, mm-hmm. security mm-hmm. for. And that way, every time that you log on to their website, it's got the latest version, without any kind of compromise. I, for one, have used, for example, NordVPN. They have NordPass, which mm-hmm. is similar.
Mm-hmm.
You can also use the Edge browser. The advantage of using the Edge browser is that it works with, and the Microsoft Authenticator, it works with iOS, it works with Android, it works with PCs and Macs and so on. So that's another way to use it. Whatever it is you use, it comes down to personal tastes and features, but you should be able to secure it as much as possible. A lot of these applications, such as Dashlane and 1Password and so on, have additional ways to protect it, such as a fingerprint, a mm-hmm. face mm-hmm. ID, and whatever. Mm-hmm. Be sure to use that. And also to test the backup authentication methods, such as SMS or email or whatever. Mm-hmm. I've seen so many cases where people say, okay, I need to get into my social media account. For example, somebody called Yasmin the other day and myself to ask, about a social media account that they lost access to. And the problem is, they didn't know what the original phone number they registered was or the original email address they had. Mm-hmm. If it's important to you at all, this is something that you need to document and to test. Because as we mentioned last week, I think, a backup that you don't test is almost always a backup that won't work when you need it.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, the thing about SMS is that it doesn't always work if you have a number that's been ported from one provider to the other. Okay. Sometimes SMS messages will get lost if you ported your number from one provider to another.
Mm.
So if you're going to use an SMS message to verify, it's best if you get a number solely for that and keep it topped up if it's prepaid.
Okay. All right. And tell me, passport managers, password managers is what I call it.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between that and an authenticator? Because you mentioned you're using one which does both.
Well, yes. There are password management tools that do both saving your passwords under a master password and provide secondary authentication tokens that expire every 30 seconds. They are just two different functions that some tools do at the same time.
I have the Microsoft Authenticator.
Mm-hmm.
How can I add somebody else to that? Or is it just Microsoft?
It works for pretty much every website.
So how would I set up, say, for instance, LinkedIn?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How would I put that onto the Microsoft Authenticator?
Well, I'll open it up right now because I don't know by heart what it does. But let me see here. There's a plus sign on the top right-hand corner where it says, okay, what kind of account are you adding? Is it a personal or work account or some other account? By personal or work, they mean Microsoft 365 personal or work. I have a personal account, alexnewman@hotmail.com, which is what I use for my personal stuff and my OneDrive and my office and everything. And I have a work account, which is Alex Newman at the place I do business in. And if you go to other, then your account provider will display a QR code. You scan the QR code.
Okay.
Or enter the code manually. Usually below the QR code, there's a manual code that you can type in.
Mm-hmm.
Some people prefer that because they don't want to turn on the camera on their phone for whatever reason. And then you type it in, the account name, for example, let's say LinkedIn, and then the secret key, which is a long series of letters and numbers, and then finish. And then it will ask me, okay, now I'm going to give you the code for that, put it in the LinkedIn page or whatever, and LinkedIn will say, yeah, that's it. Good. Now, from now on, I will ask you for that code every time that you log in from a different device that I haven't ever seen before or around every 6 months just to make sure that you're you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, good. All right. I might try that then.
Yeah, it's funny because a lot of the times I will, you know, once or twice a year, I will just format my computer. Because, you know, I install stuff, I uninstall stuff, and it gets all cruddy and whatever. The digital equivalent of, I don't know, Tartar. So I just format the whole thing and get everything back from OneDrive and Dropbox and everything else. And I will have to log on to my stuff. So I have to log on to my stuff on two laptops, two phones, a whole bunch of other devices and whatever. And then 6 months later, maybe I haven't formatted my machine yet or whatever, I'll have to do it all over again on all the devices, which, again, I'm perfectly fine with because it means it's that much harder for somebody else to steal access to my account, not to, you know, find out what I've been up to because my life is pretty boring, but in order for them not to be able to do damage to third parties, which I would allegedly be liable for.
Okay. Always good advice from Dr. Computer. Alex Newman with us this morning. Alex, as always, thank you.
Great to be here.
I know you're getting busier and busier, so it's nice when you can join us. Dr. Computer, Alex Newman with us here on this morning's breakfast show. We're just a couple of minutes away from the top of the hour, just to remind you, our guest in the last hour this morning, if you're interested in learning English, know what I mean, we've got Robert Risden coming in to chat with us from My English Time. He's the director of My English Time, and this has been going well. Began over 35 years ago, so he's going to be coming in to chat with us about that this morning. That's Robert Risden, or Risden, probably, coming in to chat with us. Just goes to prove I get everybody's name wrong. Right, I tell you what, time on the breakfast show, which is not that far away from the top of the hour. If you missed the news today, well, we got it for you right now.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3. Cool FM, the best place to be in the mornings.
As we make our way to this year's holiday season, a great time, of course, to spend with family and friends. Well, let's not also forget the less fortunate. So why not have a great time and help others as well? The British Charitable Foundation is happy to announce the 20th annual British Haul. It's going to be on Saturday the 2nd of December at the Miramar Intercontinental Hotel. Come along and join us for that champagne reception, a sit-down dinner, open bar, DJ and dancing until you drop. And you can have all of that for a donation of $135 per person. Ladies, do come glamorous. And men, well, see if you can find that black tie. All you've got to do, if you're interested in tickets, you can go directly to the booking form at www.bit.ly/2023BritishBallTickets. Or for any queries or questions, you can also email the organisers at info@BritishBallPanama.com. Come along, join us, have a great time, and give help to others as well.
La Línea 3 beneficiará a una población de más de 500.000 habitantes de la provincia de Panamá Oeste. Con el sistema monorriel, atenderá una demanda inicial de 160.000 usuarios.
Grupo Nefron Medical and Dialysis Center, located in the heart of the city, this is at the Panama Clinic Hospital in San Francisco, provides a full range of services, including advanced diagnostic procedures and treatments to help patients prevent or delay kidney failure and live healthier lives while managing a kidney disorder. Contact them at 310-2895 or 6548-6510. Grupo Nefron.
It's morning radio, the breakfast show with Jerry D on 89.3 Cool FM from the heart of Panama City in English.
The Breakfast Show. It's better than coffee.
Well, it's called Hey Tonight, as you might have gathered. Creedence Clearwater Revival, CCR. And it's time to say good morning to Yasmin.
Hello, good morning. Happy Thursday.
Yeah, we haven't had a chance to talk to you yet, have we?
Oh, yes.
No. So, how was yesterday?
Well, yesterday I went to meet the finalist of the National Speech Contest.
El Super.
Mm-hmm. Is that the best way to do it? To say
yeah.
Speech contest or oratoria here.
Oh, yeah, yes, speech. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that would be good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because, as last year, Fundación Oíres Vivir gives them free hearing tests.
Ah, really? Okay.
Yeah, to the students and to the teachers.
Oh, great.
So, mm-hmm. This year is the same.
Uh-huh.
They started yesterday and today it's the second group.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm going to meet them all today, too.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's good.
And they're so nice. I love these kids.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it's good, because it's a good experience as well.
Exactly. You know,
standing up and talking in front of other people.
It's very interesting. And they are learning a lot of techniques, you know,
mm-hmm.
how
mm-hmm.
to do it, how to speak, how to breathe, how to stand up, how to, you know, everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very interesting.
I remember I'd never really sort of given much in the way of speeches. And I joined... one of the companies in London, and they said, there's a big conference in Singapore in next month.
Mm-hmm.
We want you to go there and give a speech.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, if I'm going to give a speech, it'll be about something different, not what everybody else says.
Mm-hmm.
And I never realized how scary it was.
Yeah.
You know, sort of standing up there in front of all these people. And you've got to be careful because breathing
mm-hmm.
is so important.
Exactly.
Because if you get a, and you find you're sort of talking quickly and you're running out of breath.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, so you've got to be, yeah. And, you know, once I've been up there about 5 minutes, I got in the swing of it and,
mm-hmm.
And that was it. And in fact, I like talking,
mm-hmm.
as our listeners probably gathered.
Well, I didn't like that when I was in the school.
No?
I was like, oh, no.
I don't
but
mind.
But
that's
the other thing about school, you know, because they don't train you.
Mm-hmm.
They don't tell you about anything, any techniques or anything. They just say, just go there and talk. That's all. Or memorize a topic and just talk about it. And it's not that easy.
No.
I mean, you need to learn some skills or something, yeah.
I remember my father sometimes, he was in the security business with Group 4 Security, but he was in the police before that. And with Group 4, he used to have to give talks on sort of like truck design for safety and things like that. He said the worst time that you had to give a talk was after lunch.
Why?
Because everybody goes to sleep.
Ah, yeah, that's true.
You know, so he said he would have used to go up to the podium, and he had a starting pistol, you know, so bang. He said then everybody was awake.
Oh, gosh. Really?
Yeah. He managed to kill quite a few people as well. No, it was a starting pistol, but, you know, but yeah, he said that was always one good way of getting their attention.
Wow.
Yeah, so, good morning, afternoon, bang. Oh!
I wonder, because, you know, in the most of the events, when somebody's talking, everybody's talking too. In the back of the room.
You know what really annoys me is that when you go to these events, when you're the guest of these people, and when it's, you know, when they're getting up to talk about their event or about what they're doing or whatever, you get these people that just keep talking. And once they, you know, just shut up.
Yeah.
You know, these people have invited you here.
Exactly.
Respect.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we need a thing like that.
We need that. We need to sort of show them up, don't we? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, there we go. But, perhaps, do you think we need a starting pistol for this show?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think they listen?
Yes, of course.
You think so?
Mm-hmm. And they dance and they sing and everything.
So you're going off today.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to continue on from yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Anything else today? Is that enough?
No, just that, yeah.
That's enough.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then. All right, well, look, enjoy your day.
Thank you very much.
And I think just sort of leading on for what we were talking about, here is Aretha Franklin.
Okay.
Respect.
Oh, yes.
I ain't gonna do it.
That is the Pet Shop Boys, and nothing has been proved. And they also made that version, or that song, with Dusty Springfield taking the lead. And that was one of the pieces of music that sort of got her back into the pop scene. And there we go, Pet Shop Boys. Right, now let me see. We had the Rolling Stone Human League. Our guest, by the way, is just sort of arriving, just parking, and will be joining us probably after this piece of music. Do stick around. I've got Robert Risden coming in to chat with us about my English time. Do you fancy speaking like me? Know what I mean?
Sing, but while we're apart, don't give your heart to anyone. last dance for me. Ooh, baby, don't you know I love you so? Can't you feel me when we touch? I would never, never let you go. I love you oh so much. You can dance, go carry on till the night is gone and it's time to go. If he asks, if you're all alone, can he walk you home? You must tell him no. Cause don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, save the last dance for me.
There we go. That's the Drifters there. Save the Last Dance for Me. And the one before that, Human League, of course. And don't you want me? And right, I tell you what we're going to do on the program this time today, because I'm happy to say that our guest is with us this morning. And that is Robert. Robert, is it? Am I right in Risdon? Is it?
That's right, Jerry.
I got somebody.
Robert,
yes.
Risdon.
Make a note. I got somebody's name right. So we've got Robert with us this morning. So if you want to talk English proper, like what I does, now's your chance to find out, isn't it? Know what I mean?
Right, mate.
Yeah, that's all right, mate. Yeah. So well, that's it then. We're finished.
Yeah, interview's all over.
Robert, lovely to have you with us.
Thank you, Jerry. Happy to be here.
Tell us a little bit. My English time. How did that come into your brain in the first place?
Okay. Honesty is always the best policy, so, and transparency. So I'm not going to tell you a glorious story.
You're not going to be a politician either, are
no,
you?
No. I'm not going to tell you how I had this vocation. No. When I came to Panama in 1983, I think before you were born, Jerry.
Oh, yeah, right. Thank you. Keep flattering me. You're doing all right.
Yeah. I need another interview tomorrow at half price, so... When I came to Panama in 83, I came on a volunteer mission. Mm-hmm. I had studied teaching English, but it was not my first love at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And because of I had a family and had to support that family, I decided to find work.
Mm-hmm.
I walked into a little institution, a tiny place, a little institute. It was in... At that time, it was in Perejil, which at that time Perejil was acceptable. Now it's Caledonia. excuse me, you guys, those of you who live there. But the place was not the best place.
Mm.
And he said to me, I have a little student for you, and I'm paying a very small fee, and I needed the work.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have a characteristic, Jerry. I try to do my best at whatever I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I put my effort into it. But as it turns out, this person was not what he thought, the owner thought.
Mm-hmm.
She was a Japanese music teacher.
Oh, okay.
And she was the center of the community, the Japanese community in Panama.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently she liked the classes and asked me if I could teach at her home. And after explaining to my employer... the potential of the student, which almost gave him a heart attack because he should have taken the student. He gave it to me. He repented immediately, but it was too late. I started teaching all the Japanese community in Panama and the Korean community in this area, in Paitia, in Marbella. And then in 1989, you know what happened. The invasion, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
We had to close. I had an academy at that time. It's an interesting history, an interesting story, because Juan Francisco Galdames, you probably know who he was.
Mm-hmm.
he was a pretty popular radio commentator at that time. He was my associate.
Okay.
And we had a little school in Bella Vista called Centro Especial de Inglés. We closed during
the Troubles.
The Troubles. And then we became My English Time. That name just rang a bell. And I developed a love for this and the desire to help others. Because if you're going to do something, it needs to be with love and it needs to be beneficial to other people. Otherwise, to make your life worth living.
Right. Absolutely.
And this is how I feel. I can see this is what you do and this is how you feel, obviously.
Yeah, but you mentioned, you know, that you have to be good at what you're doing. And they said they probably heard that and say, how come he's still doing radio?
Well, let me tell you, we are like wine. Gets better with the age.
Well, that's right.
Yeah,
yes.
The ages, right? So anyway, it has now developed into My English Time. And through the years, we have been able to attend to a lot of the local population. A lot of people, businessmen, companies, etc.
So what is your, you know, when you're teaching, what's your format? I mean, you know, I've always thought it would be difficult because I know a lot of these places, for instance, you go to a Spanish class, they're only going to speak Spanish. They're not going to speak, so you've got to sort of fight your way through it.
Yes.
Is that how you work? Do you sort of just speak English and then?
No, we have some of the best systems. We work with Pearson Education, which is a very reputable distributor of educational material. We are on their platform. We are on the National Geographic platform. And basically our policy, our central feeling is to go down to the student's level in the beginning and help them up. We don't speak 100% English in the beginning with people who don't speak anything. We will give them a few words in Spanish and everything, but through the years we have learned from experience that it's not necessary to speak much Spanish. So most of the time we do speak English, and we have a lot of stories that I have one particular student. If he hears this interview, he might fire me, but I'll tell you who he is. I won't tell you who he is, but I'll tell you about him.
No, we don't need lawsuits.
No. He's from Spain, and from Galicia,
okay.
Right? And in general, people from Spain, and especially from those areas, have no clue of English. It's not like if you're from Madrid. And when he started with us, he's one case. There are many like him, but he's a very special person, so I'd like to talk about him. He told me, I've taken 3 English courses. I graduated from all of them, but I don't know how to say, may I have a cup of coffee? I don't know anything. And he didn't.
Right,
absolutely.
Really?
I was wondering how we graduated, but now, how much did you pay the teachers to graduate? But anyway.
He could be a politician.
He could be a politician. He talked his way into it. So anyway, long story short, this man, because of discipline, because of his consistency, now speaks English comfortably in his meetings without a translator, without asking anyone for help. It's not perfect, but he is able to speak well in any situation, and he's only 70% past the course. He hasn't finished. So this is an example of what you really need. All you really need is a very strong desire and the will to say, I will do whatever it takes. I want to encourage anyone out there who, any company, anyone, it's very simple. You just need the will.
And when you're doing your class, because I know one thing, you it's not just individuals, but you also do business, teaching business people as well.
Yes, thank you for asking, Jerry. We, we have been attending, because now we are a group of 10 teachers. We have been attending to companies for years. I remember once someone called me and said, I have a student for you at Cable and Wireless. He needs help. It was just one.
And he probably spoke English, didn't he?
Well, he spoke some broken word English, something that was unintelligible. But the interesting thing is, many times you will find a door open and it's a small door. But you don't know the size of the room behind the door.
Right.
And this is why we go into this. We try to help everyone with the same mentality. We want to help you. We are here to help you. We are not here. We have many different formats. We teach groups. We teach individuals. We teach business English. We have some teachers who help children with their homework and teach them to speak. That's going very well. We have some very happy parents. We teach online about 95%
oh, really?
Of the time, yes. But occasionally we will find someone who says, but I want to see you. And I say, you can see me on the web. But occasionally we find someone who wants to shake your hand physically, so we go there.
I'm lucky they don't want to see me.
No, I turn off my camera, Jerry. I'm 66. I don't want to. I'm not as good-looking as I was. Was I ever? So anyway, we do have... I was teaching cable and wireless for years, about 8 years. All the different levels, the VPs, the managers, the assistant, the secretary, everybody. And that has continued, although some of them do it through the company, some of them do it on an individual level. We adapt to your need. If you contact us and you tell us what you need, we will find a way to solve your problem. This is the key. As simple as it sounds. All the others are mechanics and methods and the rest of it. The online classes work very well. But that is the essence of our work. And I would say it's the essence of what I've done for the last 30-something years, 37, 38 years. It's solve your problem.
So how does, online, so this is on like a one-to-one basis? Or?
Yes, we do one-to-one, and we have small groups of six online. For example, there's an insurance company, a very large one that I'm attending to. Right now, I started with one. She's a key person in the company. She needs to learn. It's my pleasure. And I go there once a week, but I teach her online twice a week. And we do it through Zoom, which is very common. Most people now know how to use Zoom. Because of the pandemic, they had to learn.
I thought Zoom before the pandemic was something for your camera.
So did I.
You know.
Actually, a year before the pandemic, I started using Zoom. Because I realized I was spending a lot of time traveling in traffic and accumulating stress. And I said, no more. And all of my students said, no, no, we prefer in person. And I said, how do you know you prefer if you haven't tried it? Why don't you try it? They did, and it's history.
So with your online students, then how do you evaluate them?
Okay. Well, right now we have acquired the latest software based on artificial intelligence.
Okay.
And we use it in conjunction with human intelligence, which is ours. It's not a one-stop problem solver, but it does 70% of the work if you know how to use it and you allow it. So for companies, for example, we have been helping them. As I said, Jerry, our goal is not to sell you something and move out. I have to come back tomorrow. So our goal and what we do is we solve the problem that the company has. We solve it. How do we do that? With a combination of our artificial intelligence tools, I like to call them the teachers in your pocket.
Right.
Because you whip it out, he's never tired, he doesn't get irritable, and he will talk to you, listen to you, correct you, and respond almost 100% as a human does. But don't invite him for coffee. He won't go with you, or she.
No,
okay?
He won't pay.
And don't fall in love with your robot. That's the other thing.
They don't pay either.
Yeah, exactly. But it works very well. It does about 80% of the work in terms of the repetitive, heavy-duty carrying where you have to teach vocabulary and practice and correct. So we have found that when students come to us after using their talking to their teacher in the pocket for a few days, they're sharper. they're ready to talk. They're not as shy. They're not as inhibited. And they are more confident.
Mm-hmm.
That is
mm-hmm.
the correct expression mm-hmm. for them. Mm-hmm. So we're very happy. We use a combination of, it's a hybrid. In-house classes at mm-hmm. your office or
mm-hmm.
online,
mm-hmm.
along with the artificial intelligence solution, and it works out cheaper for companies.
For individuals, I mean, is it expensive?
No. Relatively, if you compare it to most of the standard courses out there, it's below the cost, but excuse me for my self-esteem, it's above the standard.
Well, there you go, you see.
This is how I feel.
It's a bit like this program, really,
yeah.
isn't it?
Exactly. You know, someone says to me, well, how do you rate yourself? I say, top three of the country. And if I'd like to meet the other top two, I'll find them someday.
Yes.
And they say, wow, you're really humble, aren't you? But, you know,
never believe in yourself. Absolutely.
What are you doing?
I always say, if you can't believe in yourself, you can't expect other people to believe in you.
Exactly. No, I'm happy, very, very happy. I want to say a good thank you to so many companies that have supported us.
Mm-hmm.
We have worked with Aplus, the logistics company. We still work with them. They're great people,
mm-hmm.
wonderful people. Some of them use our robots, and some of them have in-house classes. Online classes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I still work with MassMobile, but it's now called Liberty Global.
Mm-hmm.
We worked with Maersk for a while. We work with ASA.
So some quite big companies then.
Yes, and mm-hmm. It's not the thousands of students in each
sure,
one. Sometimes
sure.
they start, mm-hmm. they put their toe in the water,
mm-hmm.
but they. Usually after putting their toe in the water, if they feel that they're getting what they need, then we're okay.
Okay.
And
I see you have a motto as well.
Thank you, Jerry. Yes. The other day I was doing some thinking. When I say to my wife, I'm thinking, she says, oh, don't do that.
You can see it hurts you.
It hurts her every time I think because I come up with a new idea, you know, and I'm one of those people. Okay. Our motto is, get it right with my English time.
Right.
And what do I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I need to get it right with my methodology,
mm-hmm.
but I also need to get it right in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I need to know what I'm doing and why I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would recommend that if you want to learn English, get your motive right.
Okay.
Make your decision.
Right.
It's like a marriage, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're in, make it happen. Make it your best.
And what about learning English? Because it's a good thing here. Learn English quickly.
Yes. Within...
That's Cockney, isn't it?
I like to be honest. There's a lot of publicity out there saying, you learn in 3 months. You learn in 6 months. This is not true. You'll progress in 3 months. You
mm-hmm,
will see a
mm-hmm,
change.
Mm-hmm.
You will become more confident. The course is a year and 8 months. It's
okay.
Not that long. Mm. And if you do the full course, then we do guarantee the results.
Well, that's cool.
You will mm-hmm. be speaking fluently mm-hmm. at that time.
Okay. So just quickly, let us know the phone number and the website where people can follow up.
Yes. My cell phone number is 62. If you're out there, write it down. This may help your child. This will help your company one day. 6247-404093. 6247-4093.
Mm-hmm.
We are here to help you.
Okay.
This is it.
Good. All right. Well, we've just about sort of come to the end of the program. But I'll tell you what, I've got a challenge for you.
Okay.
Next week, we'll find a slot. Yeah, we'll find. Come back with one of your students.
Okay.
All
thank
right.
you.
Because I know you've got sort of a little bit stuck this morning. So
thank you, Jerry.
But
there's a chance
that we'll have you and one of your students can tell me if you're being, like you said, transparent and honest like a politician.
Yeah. No, don't worry. I'll pay them well. Thank you, Jerry. I appreciate that very much.
All right.
I'll find my best one, of course.
Oh, you're going to find one a student from one of the other two?
Take them from another school. No. You will meet one of my students next week.
All right, Robert. We'll all
so
be well with
tune
you
in, guys.
Next week, but we'll set something up for you.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you so
Robert Bristow with us this morning, and there we go. My English time. And I'll get right back now to my normal English talk proper, like, you know what I mean? So again, big thanks to Robert, big thanks to Dr. Computer, Alex Newman, for being with us this morning. And also to Ingrid, our intrepid outdoor reporter, our producer here in the Breakfast Show studio, Yasmin, and doing all our social media, etc., etc. And also to my co-producer, Neil Danby, over there in Windsor in the United Kingdom. Big thanks to him for some of our background information he gets for us, the boys and girls, a group of Grodd, to keep us up and running. And as always, to you, our listeners, advertisers and sponsors, thank you so very much for being with us here on The Breakfast Show, 89.3 Cool FM. Back with you tomorrow. Oh, I love Fridays. I love every day, really. But Fridays, TGIF tomorrow, 7 o'clock. Be back with you, all right? Just remember, whatever it is you're doing between now and then, especially if you're moving in a car, if it's possible, do it carefully. Want to be talking to you tomorrow, not talking about you. From me, Jerry D. Till then, ta-da! You have been listening to The Breakfast Show, a Panama Broadcasting Corporation and Cool FM production. Presented by Jerry D, produced by Yasmin Karas, co-producer Neil Danby.